Psalm 103 is one of the great psalms in the Bible. We see reasons why we should praise the Lord. First of all, because God is holy. It's a psalm of David, and it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." God is totally set apart from any other being in holiness. Here's the reason why we should always praise God. The majestic God is a holy God. But he says, God has given us many benefits. Verse 2, he says this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." We can forget things. We can have this tendency, and ingratitude is one of the things that can creep in if we're not careful. God gives his people life and skill and abilities and jobs and relationships, all kinds of things. A few years back, there was this guy in church who asked us to pray that he would get a job. And finally, God gave him a job. And then he forgot about church. And David never wanted that happening to him. Look at these benefits. The pardon benefit. Look at verse 3. "Who forgives all your iniquity." Notice the pardon is for all your iniquities. God pardons people from every sin and violation of his law. And then there's a benefit of healing. "Who heals all your diseases." We know that sometimes people are not healed. In fact, we know that sickness is one means that God uses to take his children home. However, any healing from anything has come from God. That's true physically, and it's true emotionally and spiritually. The problem is, God does not get the credit. And then there's a redemptive benefit. Verse 4, "Who redeems your life from the pit." The Septuagint uses the Greek word lutro for redemption. That's the word that means God pays the price and then sets the person free. Then there's a royal benefit. Verse 4, the second part, "Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy." Notice when you have a relationship with God, you are crowned with the highest level of royalty one could ever have. And then there's the satisfaction benefit. Look at verse 5, "Who satisfies you with good." God allows his people to have so many good things in life that they are satisfied. Just think for a moment about all the good things God has permitted you to enjoy. And then there's the benefit of renewal. Verse 5 again. "So that your youth is renewed like the eagles." God renews his people time and time again. Look at the times when you have been low, perhaps by your own sinful choice, and you go to God and get a result, and you are revived and renewed. And then there's a protective benefit. Look at verse 6. "The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed." And then there's the fact that God protects his family and does righteous things and even judgmental things on behalf of his people when they're being oppressed. And then there's a revelatory benefit. Verse 7, "He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel." It's clear that God made his way known to Moses and his acts to the sons of Israel. And then there's a grace benefit. God is compassionate. We see that he says, "The Lord is merciful." Word means to cherish something to the point that you treat it in a gentle and tender way. And then it says the Lord is gracious. This word emphasizes that God is favorable to someone when they don't deserve it. He graciously gives and bestows his blessings without cause. And he's slow to anger. Slow to anger. The word slow is one that means God extends and stretches out to a very long way before he gets angry with his people. God cuts his people a lot of slack before they anger him. And then God abounds in mercy and abounding in steadfast love. That word loving kindness is one that speaks of the great mercy of God. And then God will not always strive. He says he will not always chide. Remember, this is a holy God. So naturally our relationship with God will be one times that is opposite God. But God does not continue to constantly accuse us or antagonize us. He's not angry with us forever, it says, nor will he keep his anger forever. So wonderful to know. Even when God is angry with his people, it's not forever. And then God has not dealt with us on the basis of what we deserve. Verse 10, he does not deal with us according to our sins. Every single one of us could testify that God has never punished us for our sins immediately or completely, never given to us what we truly deserve. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, and he has not rewarded us according to the iniquities, because if he did, we'd be gone. God has demonstrated incalculable amounts of loving kindness to us. If For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. The word loving kindness, hesed, is a word that means to have pity and mercy on someone who is helpless in a very favorable and loving way. This way is used in verses 8, 11, and 17. It's one of the wonderful benefits of having a relationship with God. His mercy is given to us. In fact, if God is not merciful, he cannot have any relationship with any of us. And then God has removed our transgressions from us. Look at verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Dr. McGee said that when you go north, you eventually reach a place where you'll go south. You'll eventually arrive at the North Pole, and from that point, you head toward the South Pole. But when you go west, you never reach such a place. You will always go west. West is infinity. That's the point. God forgives our sins infinitely. They're gone. And then he has compassion on his fearing children. Look at verse 13. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. God's compassion is fatherlike. And then God knows how frail we are. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we're dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. Someone has wisely said, God remembers we are dust, but his people tend to forget it. We're sinful, finite humans being whose time here is like grass. We're here for a while, and then we're gone. And just like verse 16 says, most aren't even acknowledged. They're just forgotten. And then God's loving kindness is everlasting. Look at verse 17. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. Man's life is temporal. God's grace and mercy are not temporal. Finite humans end their existence on earth, but the mercy of God does not end at any time. And God's righteousness will be passed on to children's children. He says, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. All these benefits are given to sinful, finite people who fear God and love God and desire to remember and keep his word. Conclusions can be drawn about God promising that he will pay things to future generations. For example, when God says he'll punish future generations, one way to look at that is he does not always pay back the sins immediately. That's merciful. Now with these verses, God will continually pour out his mercy over and over and over again. And that's because God is sovereign. Look at verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Verse as plain as it gets, God's sovereignty rules over everything. We cannot possibly praise God and bless God until we recognize the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign over everything and everyone. And then David challenges these existences to bless the Lord and praise the Lord. The angels should bless the Lord. Verse 20. Bless the Lord, all you, his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. The host shall bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. The works of God should bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. And the soul of man should bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You see, God is the source of all blessings and all should